I love good music. I really do. Okay, Daniel chapter 1, if you go there, bringing a message on a young man, a teenager. By the way, let me say this to you. I love young people. I spent 30 years preaching at the Wilds in North Carolina. That's why I have gray hair. You teens, sit there to me, all right? But I love young people. I really do. Speak at different colleges as well. And I tell you, they're a great group. They really are. But today in America, we're finding young men involved in alcohol, pornography, drugs. You know, in the spiritual realm, we need to see God raise up young ladies and young men that have a heart for the things of God. Here's a young man in the Bible, a teenager named Daniel. And my, how God used him. But you know what? It's just not for teenagers. This man's life is a tremendous challenge and admonition to God's people, regardless of your age. And I want to show you from the Bible this young man, which I think is very striking, okay? Look at Daniel 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. As we look at this young man's life tonight, I want us all to bow our heads and have a word of prayer, and then I'll bring the message. Our Father, we thank you for those who have come this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the great music. We ask now for the Holy Spirit to take the power of thy word and apply it to our lives. We do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this young man Daniel was a teenager, as I told you. We don't know the exact age, but maybe 17, 16. But a young man, a teenager. As you look upon this man's life, the first thing you've got to realize, Daniel was greatly used of God. But the reason God used him, because first of all, the Word of God says that Daniel purposed. You know something? There's got to be a purpose in your heart, young person, or you adults, that you will not defile yourself. You know, there is a novelty about sin. The grass always seems greener on the other side of the fence. For example, before God saved me when I was a teenager in West Virginia, I think I was around 15 when this happened. You see, my father was a bouncer in the tavern. My mother was a bar lady. And my Uncle Harry owned the beer garden, which you may call a tavern up here in Indiana. And one day I saw these men down at the beer garden smoking cigars. And boy, you know, it looked like it was so enjoyable. They walked around puffing on their cigars like it was so enjoyable. And I thought as a young teenager, you know, I'd like to try that. That looks like it'd be a lot of fun. So I stole the biggest cigar I could steal from Uncle Harry's beer garden. One of those big jobs like that. About that big around. And so I took a bunch of farmer matches in my pocket. I went about 2 miles above our home because my mom and dad would have killed me if they knew what I did. And so I'd go up there, and like they did, I did what they did. I bit one of the cigar off, turned it around, I bit the other end off, then put that big cigar between my teeth. And then what they would do, they took a fire match, and they would, you know, cut their leg and go like that, and light off their leg and light the cigar. And so I put the cigar in there. I got the match. I went like that and broke the match in half. And after several tries, I finally got the match to go off, and I go to light the cigar out here. And you may not believe this, but I singed my eyebrows off. And the thing was way out there. And, you know, I began to walk through the woods with my cigar, you know, and like these big guys. And so I took the puff, I inhaled that cigar, and when I went to exhale, the smoke came out the wrong hose. My ears, my eyeballs, I mean, and I'm coughing, you know. And so I begin to walk through the woods with my cigar, you know, big tough Savinsky, you know, teenager, puffing on it. And all of a sudden, the world began to go round in circles. And I turned green. And there's no exaggeration. I got on my hands and my knees, and I crawled like a dog for 2 miles to my home. When I got to my home, only thing that gave me comfort, I put my head under a number 2 wash tub and held my head under the water as long as I could. I'd come up for air, and I'd go back down under there. But you know what? I thought the cigar would bring me a lot of enjoyment, you know, a lot of pleasure. And guess what? Made me sick. Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. You see, child of God, regardless of your age, there has to be a purpose that will not defile our lives. Romans 12:9 says, abhor that which is evil. Jeremiah 10:2 says, learn not the way of the heathen. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And I would to God tonight, there'd be some young man in this room, some young lady, or some adults. You would purpose in your heart, you would not defile yourself. But second of all, look in verse 12. We find Daniel's proving. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Look here. The Bible says that Daniel, second of all, there was this proving. Is that Bible? Today, is that Bible for you? Yes. Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. In other words, that which is good, young man. Hey, teenager, what's good for you, retain. And that which is not good, get out of your life. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now the word cleanse ourselves in the Greek language literally means to make a complete break, sever all ties. My grandmother in West Virginia was from Lithuania. By the way, I'm part Russian, I'm part Lithuanian. And my grandmother from Lithuania, one was from Austria also, but my grandmother from Lithuania, Baki, we called her Baki. Baki means grandmother in Lithuanian. And so we would always call her Baki, my wonderful grandmother. But Baki raised chickens, and she would do this. She took a handful of grain and go outside, and she would drop the grain on the ground, and she'd always walk backwards to a little small bench. And she would do that every day. And she'd go, hey, chicky, chick, 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 and they're going, bok, bok, like that to her, you know. And this is going on week after week, and pretty soon, several months, and these chickens begin to blossom like a rose. They got bigger and bigger. And finally, after several months, Baki would do this. She had a handful of grain, but behind her other hand was a butcher knife, about this long, with a black handle on it. And Baki would do this. She would drop the grain on the ground to the little bench, you know, and then when she got to the bench, she would grab the chicken by the head, throw it across the little bench and go, wham! And cut the head off. And the chicken would go 20 feet in the air with no head on its neck. What did Baki do? She severed the head from the body. You know, child of God, that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to sever things in our lives. Romans 6:12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, keep thyself pure. When I was in high school, my whole life was sports. That was my God. I loved football and baseball and track. I hunted, I fished, I trapped. I was an outdoorsman, okay? When I was a junior, I was invited to join the most prestigious athletic club in the high school. It was a large high school, by the way, in what I went to in West Virginia. And I played football there for 3 years. I played baseball for 3 years and ran track and all that stuff. And I was invited as a junior, and that was a great honor to get in that prestigious athletic club. However, I got saved my senior year. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know Christ died for my sins. Like some of you teenagers may not know that Christ died for your sins. And you, as a lady, you as a man, you may not know that Christ died for you and shed his blood on the cross. Specifically for you. He died for our sins. And I got saved when I was 17. My senior year. However, when I got saved, I was still a member of this athletic club. And what they did in that club, and I cannot go into the detail, but what they did in that club, now that I was saved, I had no business being in that atmosphere and with that influence. So I walked into the club meeting. I went directly to the president and I said, Brooks. He said, yeah, what is it, Jerry? I said, Brooks, I've got to get out of the club. And when I said that, guys I played football with for 3 years, baseball for 3 years, we were such a close-knit group, like brothers. They all gathered around me. And they began to say, why, Jerry, are you getting out of the club? And you know what? They could not understand. But I said, I've got to get out. And I did. And I'll never forget this. I walked out the door. I shut the door behind me. And when I did, it seemed like God just poured a whole gallon of character down my backbone. You see, young person, when adults, you have to sever ties. There's got to be a proving. And Daniel, not only purpose, the word of God says he proved. But third of all, look in verse 15. We find Daniel's portion. At the end of 10 days, the countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which had eaten a portion of the king's meats. Now look here. This is ironic. It seems like if you ate my favorite cut of meat, a filet mignon, by the way, okay, if you please, and a baked potato with sweet tea, of course, and a good Caesar salad, you know, and then let's say you ate just vegetables. I mean, just let's say a salad and a glass of water. It would seem at the end of 10 days, that my appearance would be fairer and fatter in flesh than you. But you know what? This is not the case. Daniel only ate vegetables and water for 10 days. At the end of that, their appearance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children of the king who ate and drank his wines, and his meats. You know something? You got to realize something. You have a decision to make. I'm going to put before you two tables tonight. Okay? On one table, it's a mile long. I'm going to put the best cars on there. I'm going to put the best clothes. I'm going to put stacks of gold, silver, real estate, the best clothes, and food you can imagine on this long table. But that's the world's table. Over here is another table. It's a mile long. All that's on this table are bowls of vegetables and glasses of water, and that's it. By the way, this right here, teenagers, is my preaching finger, okay? If I pointed you out, young lady, young man, or you as an adult, and said, hey, come up here right now. Who? Yeah, you. Come up here right now, okay? And I say, what is your name? And you as a teenager, adult, you tell me your name. I say, okay. Now, young lady or young man, hey, you as an adult, the rest of your life, you have to choose one of these two tables. You can't choose both. You got to choose one. Well, you tell me what table are you going to choose for the rest of your life? And you go and look at this table. and smell the aroma and see the wealth and the glitter. And you go over here and all you see are glasses of water and bowls of just salad. And you finally look at me and you say, well, you know, I think I'm going to choose this table. Then you just made the worst decision of your life. Why? Because the Bible says so. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, everything on this table will pass away. However, let's say you're looking at the two tables, and you say, you know, I think, Brother Jerry, I'm going to choose God's table. Then you just made the greatest decision of your entire life. You know, many years ago, I was preaching to a large group of teenagers down in the state of West Virginia, down in Charleston, West Virginia. And unknown to me, there was a young man there who was going to be a professional baseball player. And I mentioned how I loved baseball in high school. And so he wanted to meet me at the close of the service. So they brought him up to me. And his name was Jeff Davenport. And Jeff and I began to talk. And I don't know why I said this. He was playing for the Kansas City Royal Farm League. He was batting over 370, ready to step up into the majors. And so I don't know why I even said this to him. I said, hey, Jeff, can I ask you one question? He said, yeah. What's that? I said, have you ever considered giving your life for God's work? He said, no, I know. I'm going to be a professional baseball player. I said, well, Jeff, would you do me a favor? He said, what would that be? I said, wherever you are 3 years from now, would you call me and tell me how God has led in your life? He said, Jerry, I would do that. And I gave him my phone number. Well, 3 years go by. I was preaching to 800 teenagers at the Wilds in Rosman, North Carolina. I was ready to go down to speak to these teenagers when there was the loudspeaker was a message, Jerry Savinsky, go to the office. There's a long-distance phone call waiting for you. And so I ran to the office. I picked up the phone. I said, hello. And the person said, is this Jerry Savinsky? I said, yes, it is. I said, who's calling? He said, Jerry, this is Jeff Davenport of the Kansas City Royal Farm League. I said, Jeff. I said, I met you several years ago. He said, exactly 3 years ago. I said, yes, down in Charleston. He said, that's right. He said, I could never get rid of your question. I'm calling you to let you know I'm ready to step up in the majors, but I'm getting out of professional baseball. I'm giving my life for God's service. You know, Jeff was pastoring a church in Ohio, Gallup Police, Ohio. He had me for revival meetings, and I said, no, Jeff, I've told a lot of people about your life, how you made a major decision of giving your life for God's service. He said, Brother Jerry, would you please tell them one more thing? I said, what would that be, Jeff? He said, tell them, I have never regretted my decision. He said, I cannot express to you how God's blessed me. You know something tonight? As a young man, when I stuttered like a stuttering individual, I mean, I just had an erratic speech problem. Son of a coal miner. When I came down the aisle one night and said, God, you can have my life. I had no idea of the wonderful journey God was putting me on. You see, choosing God's table, you'll find at the end of life, your life will be fairer and fatter in flesh than all those who eat the world's table. At the night, there's no doubt some young man in this room, some young lady, God could greatly use you. You could be a young married couple. God could greatly use your lives. But I'm going to tell you something. This message right here is what's always involved whenever God uses a person as a young person or an adult. There has to be the purpose. There's the proving, and God's portion will be abundant upon your life. However, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've got to realize nothing in life will ever satisfy you until you come to God's Son. You see, Jesus said, I am come to give them life and to give it unto them abundantly. In other words, only Christ can give you peace. He can give you a purpose for life. That's why the Word of God says by Christ Himself in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Christ is the only one that can give you rest because He died for your sins. He arose from the grave. He was God's means of saving the world. And He could save you if you'd only come to Him. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.